Stamford, Connecticut to Tokyo, Japan, from the Florida Everglades to Mexico City, and wherever pile drivers, power bombs, and tie spots are taking place.
That thing gives us! It's about to pick up!
This is Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. This is Calf Crusher Radio.
Oh my God!
Here are your hosts, Mike, Hammy, and King.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Calf Crusher Radio, pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is nobody because Punchy is dead. And joining me on Skype is none other than Mr. John King, president of the Alexa Bliss Fan Club. What is going on, sir?
Not too much, my friend. It's a bit of a sad day that we've lost Mike. No longer hipster Punchy Falcone.
The Undertaker said he was digging holes and taking souls, and he took our own Punchy. So rest in peace, buddy. It's been nice knowing you.
Dragged him straight to hell.
Anyhow,
it's funny how we're being very jovial about the death of a good friend.
Well, I'm very happy for it. So, but anyhow, top story. We need to talk about a couple of things. Tonight's going to be a quick and easy show, which is kind of like having sex with me. So let's get right to it. Top story, we need to talk about the apparent mixture of professional combat sports here, because Mayweather McGregor is the cancer that just won't leave us, King.
Oh, stop it. Would you learn to love things?
No, I won't. Mayweather McGregor is the thing that just will not leave us. It's like herpes. It's like a very bad cold sore. It's just not going to leave us. And I hate to say it, but I'm pretty sure that Mayweather McGregor has now spawned various crossover sports. So this past weekend was UFC 214, and Jon Jones recaptured the light heavyweight title by knocking the head off of Daniel Cormier, basically, in a vicious head kick, and knocked him out cold. So Jon Jones is your light heavyweight champion. But then he did something interesting. In the octagon, he called out Brock Lesnar. And sure enough...
Brock Lesnar.
And sure enough, almost immediately, Lesnar responded, saying, "Okay. Come
be
at me, bro.
What you wish for, young man." I believe was the actual tweet.
Well, Jones basically said, "If you want to know what it's like to get beat up by a man half your age, meet me in the octagon." And Lesnar's like, "Be careful what you wish for, young man." So Dana White was quick to say that there's no way that this is going to happen. And as we know with Mayweather McGregor, that means that Jon Jones will fight Brock Lesnar sometime in the spring. Lesnar just needs to enter the USADA poll, which means he will be, about 6 months?
To
go through USADA to be able to fight again?
I believe so, because that's, and I believe you would probably know more about this than I do, but from what I understand is that when he retired from MMA, that basically put a pause on his suspension. Because I know I saw a couple of people out there saying, "Oh, well, you know, he can come back now at any time." And it's like, no, he has to re-enter the USADA program. And then once he does that, that'll restart his suspension from when he left off, which will be around, I believe, January is when that would run out if he did it today. Like if he came back and entered USADA today, I believe it would run out. His suspension would be up in around January or maybe early February, somewhere around there.
The point is it times out just right. So it times out just right for when Lesnar's contract expires at WrestleMania or shortly after WrestleMania.
I was going to say, if he enters after SummerSlam, which is a possibility, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but if he does that, then that it gives him even a little bit more time. And what I'm thinking here is that you're going to probably have Lesnar versus John Bones Jones at like UFC's big July 4th show that they like to do every year. I think around there, around that kind of midsummer time, is where you're going to see that particular fight happen. Now, John Jones is probably going to have two more fights in between there.
At least two more.
Because he's having one in November, I think, is from what they were saying. He's going to have a fight in November, and then he might have another one between November and whenever the Lesnar fight will be.
Well, nothing's official yet for him in November, but the UFC will be at Madison Square Garden in early November. So there's a very good possibility that they can have a Jones fight versus most likely Alexander Gustafsson for that card. That's also going to be headlined by possibly Bisping versus GSP. So that already has a very stacked card to it if it does indeed become official. But nevertheless, we need to talk about the crossover that is happening with sports, with these combat sports, because Mayweather, the face of the UFC and MMA, is fighting Floyd Mayweather, the face of boxing. And I think both you and I can agree that if McGregor somehow indeed pulls this off, boxing's dead as we know it. But
it's life support as it is.
This is shutting off the breathing machine if McGregor pulls it off. There's also a potential collaboration now with WWE and UFC in regards to Chris Cyborg, the now women's 145-pound champion.
Featherweight
champion. Wow, I work in MMA and you corrected me. It shows how much I know. So there's a potential collaboration between Cyborg and Becky Lynch. Those two are going back at it, back and forth on Twitter, and it's almost all guaranteed that Cyborg in some capacity is going to interfere with SummerSlam.
I think she has to, because at this point, what they've been doing on Twitter is, it started off, it just seemed to be like maybe one of those things like, Rousey had done a couple things like that. And there were a couple times where McGregor went back and forth with a couple of the wrestlers. I remember last year there was it seemed like it might have been just that she was doing with Becky Lynch. And then it started getting more and more. Then it was like every day, twice a day, three times a day, they're going back and forth at each other. And then there was a particular tweet from Cyborg that said, "Hey, listen, if I win tonight in California and you win tonight in Detroit, I'll sign the SummerSlam contract. Why don't you?" And it was kind of like, okay, that's the first thing that was really like, is she really pushing to be at SummerSlam now? So now it's not a question of was she going to interfere, or is it going to be something like that? Or now it's a question of, like, is she legitimately going to have a match at SummerSlam? And, you know, if not, like, is this going to be a legit thing? Like, maybe in between Cyborg's fights, she's going to be in WWE.
This is also picking up some steam here, because just this tweet right here. This was late last night. She tweeted this. Someone tweeted Cyborg versus Becky Lynch would be worse. Will it be worse than Mickey Gall versus CM Punk? And Becky Lynch in response says, "In all fairness, I think she could last a little longer." So. You know what? For that, Becky, I'm going to give you a follow. This has been a crazy, crazy buildup. And these two are going at it on Twitter. They are trading shots. They're trading blows. Something tells me there's going to be some form of interaction between Cyborg and Becky Lynch at SummerSlam. Look, and even Cyborg herself retweeted a fake photoshopped image, but it's a SummerSlam poster of Cyborg and Becky Lynch. So,
and she did one before too. That was one of a SummerSlam one that was her on one side of a billboard and Becky on the other. And so what I've seen from this is this has been mostly, you know, again, just looking at it from somebody who you know, is reading Twitter and everything like that, what I'm seeing is this is mostly something that's been pushed by Cyborg. Like, this wasn't, like, Becky Lynch didn't call her out. Nobody else called her out. Cyborg is the one who kind of started this and kind of started getting the push on this. So, Like, is this, I guess my question here is, with everything else that we've been seeing, with the possible Brock Lesnar, John Jones UFC fight coming up next year, with Cyborg and Becky Lynch doing this, with the WWE Four Horsewomen and the UFC Four Horsewomen, including Ronda Rousey, apparently having some to-do at the Mae Young Classic, which of course is going to air later on this month on the WWE Network. And then, of course, your favorite, as we were talking about, McGregor and Mayweather. Is this a concerted effort from UFC to cross-brand, cross-promote with WWE and with, you know, again, with the Mayweather, maybe more boxing, maybe to try to get a little bit more mainstream in? But is this a concerted effort from Dana White and UFC and Vince McMahon and WWE to cross-promote with each other? Or is this something that's more individual-based to where the bosses are saying, okay, fine, sure, go ahead?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, WWE and UFC did basically a you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours type of deal with Brock Lesnar last year at UFC 200. Right. And as we all know, Lesnar brought a lot of money, a lot of draw to UFC, and I think he walked away with like $16 million in total for UFC 200. So Brock Lesnar's going to get paid if he goes back. But I don't. It would be great because I would see John Jones. Oh my God, I can't talk today. Burping like crazy. It would mean that John Jones is at heavyweight, which is what I want to see him at, because he's cleaning out the light heavyweight division. So, in a way, I would love to see Jones versus Lesnar, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. But
really?
I don't think it's going to happen, but leave it to Dana White to make shit happen, because thanks to Dana White, we now have Mayweather-McGregor. So,
if I can ask you just real quick, why don't you think Lesnar-Bones would happen?
I don't think it's going to happen because Lesnar is not a worthy challenger, but where it can happen, because the purest of MMA fan in me doesn't want to see this circus, because Mayweather-McGregor is happening, now UFC heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic wants to fight professional boxers because he was a Golden Glove champion, which basically means you're just a good amateur, and now he wants to fight boxers, and now boxers want to fight UFC guys, so Mayweather-McGregor has basically been the catalyst to a circus that is boxing versus MMA. And as we all know, pro wrestling, yes, even though it is a show and it's predetermined and in kayfabe, pro wrestling and MMA and boxing have crossed over more than ever before. And if Cyborg and Becky Lynch indeed happens, what's going to happen after that? Will John Jones appear on Raw to confront Lesnar? Because on Raw this past week, Heyman and Lesnar said if they lose, they're gone. So is that a way that Lesnar gets out to enter USADA?
And again, that's one of the other things that has thrown it in there. Now, we all know that his contract doesn't run out until after WrestleMania. Is this a case where this is just kind of like a thing to maybe write him off TV until we get to like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season, as kind of like a kayfabe based in reality kind of situation where everybody knows the talk between him and UFC, so they're using that to their advantage. Is it legitimate? Like, if he actually does lose, will he just say, you know, I'm out of here and just wait out and sit out the rest of his contract? Will Vince allow that? You know, there's a lot of that. Will he even lose his belt? And then we don't even have to worry about that, and we continue going on. Even though we all know after SummerSlam, Lesnar's not going to be on TV for a while.
At least not until Survivor Series or the Rumble.
That's how his schedule is.
I think WWE will continue to do business with Lesnar as long as they want to. I think Lesnar doesn't give a shit as long as he keeps getting paid. I mean, that's basically what he said. He loves getting paid, he loves beating people up, and he loves collecting money. So
now, here's a question for you real quick, because I have one or two more thoughts I do want to get to, but a real question for you quick is, do you see this as yes, Lesnar's going to go to the UFC and fight John Bones Jones. Because even though you said that he's not a worthy challenger, I don't think Lesnar's challenging for the belt. I don't think he's challenging for anything like that. I think it's just going to be like John Bones said. He wants it to be like a super fight. He wants it to be a thing. That's why it'll probably be a catch weight, obviously. He might come up a little bit in weight, but it's basically going to be a catch weight fight. And it's basically going to be a glorified exhibition between him and Lesnar just to do it. And in that case, I think if the money's right, I think both of them will do it. I think Dana White will do it without a doubt. I think he'll do it.
Oh, Dana White is just as ruthless as Vince McMahon is. He loves making money.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to want to do it.
So here's my question to you, though. Is this a situation like it was 2 years ago where you think maybe Lesnar is using, I could just always go back to the UFC and make more money anyway, as leverage to get more money from Vince and the WWE?
Yes and no. I think he has made enough. I think he's made as much money as he's going to be satisfied with. I mean, we all would love to make more money, but I think Lesnar has made his money enough to put his family in great financial means for the rest of their life. And I think he just wants to collect enough money just to say it, just to collect more money. I don't know. I mean, Brock Lesnar has done everything there is to do in WWE. And Brock Lesnar cannot deny it. Like, no one can deny that Brock Lesnar was a UFC heavyweight champion. He was. He was the UFC heavyweight champion. But where criticism is met is Lesnar has lost his last three fights. He does not have a good MMA record. He came in and dominated in a time where there were no good heavyweights. Now there's a lot of good heavyweights. And if John Jones fights at heavyweight, Jones is going to wipe the floor with Brock Lesnar.
But Lesnar didn't lose his last fight. He beat Merker. Now, granted, it might have been vacated because of the whole...
Officially, it was ruled a no contest. But before that,
I go by my eyeballs.
But before that, he lost his three fights. He lost his previous fights. And he lost his fights to not that good of heavyweights.
But he beat Mark Hunt.
Okay, steroids helped him beat Mark Hunt, and he was suspended for that. And I don't know, man. I would. Part of me would like to see the circus just to see MMA and pro wrestling fans just go at it. But realistically, John Jones is a light heavyweight champion. He should maintain and dominate the light heavyweight division until he's beaten. Because I don't want to see him pull a McGregor and jump classes and fight people instead of fighting the number one contenders in a heavyweight division. Maybe that's just me, but I'm being a purist here. But Jones, as a light heavyweight champion, should fight the light heavyweights.
And I think he'll do that. I don't think that's a problem. The match with Lesnar wouldn't be for the belt. It wouldn't be as far as, again, like I said, it would just be an exhibition. It wouldn't have anything to do with his run as being a light heavyweight or light heavyweight champion. So I think that would be fine. My last little bit on this, MMA fans are such assholes. I love MMA as much as I love it. I do. I have grown to love MMA. I've learned to love it. At first, I was kind of like, it's not my thing. The more I watched, the more I got into it, and I enjoy MMA now. But people who are the pure MMA fans, and the way they kind of treat all this, WWE news and everything like that. Oh, Cyborg, she finally got a tough match and got MMA fans' respect, and now she's going to go off to this fake ballet dancers in a ring. She's going to lose all the respect that she had just earned. And it's like, really? I'm like, really? That's how you're going to characterize it? That's how you're going to look at that? It's like, when it comes to someone like Cyborg, I think this is a smart move if she does it. If she goes and does like a match with Becky Lynch and does a little bit of WWE in between her UFC fights, that's another income.
Who cares?
That's more money. Why wouldn't she do that?
Cyborg going over SummerSlam is great for WWE because they get a legit chance, like real. For those of you who don't know how terrifying Cyborg is, just picture the most terrifying thing you can think of, and then just imagine that being a real woman. Like you, like people are afraid of the boogeyman. Cyborg would make the boogeyman tap in a matter of seconds. Cyborg would destroy anyone in that cage. She is the most terrifying woman on the planet.
For the lay
people, and she can legit
there.
Beat the shit out of anyone in WWE. There's no doubt in my mind that she could destroy anybody. Even though Becky Lynch is in fact dating an MMA fighter, she may know a couple things. She would never in a million years beat Cyborg in a real fight. So I think Cyborg going to WWE, because I think Cyborg and all the, I think most of the MMA fighters out there like WWE, or at least respect pro wrestling. They like the theatrics. They like the soap opera. So Cyborg going over there, I think could be great for WWE because they get a legit champion there. They get a legit celebrity athlete there. And I think UFC gained some new fans through the WWE. And I think the WWE benefits, I think the UFC benefits, because they get free promotion on WWE. It's a win-win if Cyborg and Becky Lynch go at it.
From the business standpoint, I don't think, I think that's 100% right. I don't think there's any doubt that this is the way to go. If you're UFC, if you're WWE, cross-promotion with each other, using the biggest names that you both have in your companies, you know, doing things like that. I think that is the perfect way to go about it. Now, again, with WWE, you really don't have that many of the wrestlers that I think could go into the octagon and do well. You have Brock Lesnar. That's maybe about it. As we saw with CM Punk trying to take a wrestler and turning them into an MMA star, doesn't really work that well. Doesn't happen a lot. But having the MMA people come over and learning how to do professional wrestling, that does work well. I think we've seen that before with going way back in the day. Obviously, Ken Shamrock would be the first one. And they have that ability. They have the athleticism. And as we've talked about before with like a Chael Sonnen or like a Conor McGregor, they have that charisma and the ability to put that out over
The difference is it is much easier for a pro wrestling fan to transition to an MMA fan than it is for an MMA fan to transition to pro wrestling. Because
that's the thing. Because I think MMA fans are, and like you said, you think there are MMA fans out there that do enjoy wrestling. And I absolutely believe that. I think there's a bunch of crossover appeal between both of the sport. Well, you know, one's an actual sport. One is sports entertainment. I get it. But there are the MMA purists who are kind of like boxing purists who are kind of like wrestling is so
cartoony
what they should be doing, how their wrestling is it's garbage, how dare they sully themselves with doing that kind of and it's like, really? It's like some of the best, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue points about that. You know, wrestling's fake. Yeah, sure it is. It's predetermined. It's ballet and a ring. Sure, whatever gets you by. But I find if you don't like it, then you don't like it. That's fine. But don't sit there and try to say that, you know, just because one like an MMA fighter wants to go over and try wrestling, it's devaluing your sport, or it's making your sport worse. How is it doing that? Because you know what? I guarantee you, if Cyborg goes and wrestles in WWE, she'll go right back to UFC, and will knock the teeth out of anybody that steps in front of her. I think that there's no argument there. So to sit there and say that somehow that's going to damage UFC, it's going to damage MMA, it's not going to do that. So that's what bothers me about MMA fans, is that they seem to have that old... They've turned into the boxing fans that they used to make fun of and didn't like. That's what MMA fans have become now. Well, some of them. Anyway.
Them's fighting words, my friend.
I'm telling you. And I will... Listen, I wish I had an outlet, as you and some other people do, because I would let my opinion be known, well, especially to these MMA people who like to sit there and kind of have the... it bugs me when you see that, or at least when I see it. When I see people have that same mentality that they were fighting against a mere 5, 10, 15 years ago with the boxing establishment and how boxing looked their nose down on MMA. Now MMA is doing the same thing to everything, to boxing and to wrestling. And to, it's a, you know what? Pump your brakes, kid, all right? Because right. 20 years ago, you know, UFC was basically barroom brawling. Let's not kid each other here.
So let's transition to some actual pro wrestling. The biggest story, I think, that's coming from this, and we could talk about what's going on behind the scenes in detail after this, but the Hardys have seemed to find a way to get their broken gimmick into WWE. So, without explaining it, here is a backstage interview with the Hardys after their tag team match on Raw this past Monday night.
Matt and Jeff, first of all, congratulations on your victory against Gallows and Anderson. Now,
you can see Matt's face right away that there's some brokenness in that, yeah, in him right there.
After the ensuing battle between Gallows and Anderson, the Revival, and you guys, Michael Cole mentioned on commentary that something had awoken in the Hardy Boys. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, I would like to thank the Revival, because after tonight, I feel revived. I feel like a number one contender again. How do you feel?
I feel revived as well, my brother. I feel triggered. I feel woken. There is an awakening that has happened inside my brother and myself. And now the club, the Revival, they will both learn while we have run the tag team division for a quarter of a century. And they will also learn while we will run this tag team division forever.
That, my friend, is broken Matt. That is a broken laugh from Matt Hardy on Raw. And if you follow Matt Hardy on Twitter, there seems to be some tweets from him indicating that the brokenness is coming to Monday Night Raw.
Now, here's the thing. We've seen this before. He's been teasing it since they debuted at WrestleMania. They've been doing that. Michael Cole at WrestleMania, when they were walking down the ramp, said, "This crowd appears to be broken from all the," like, they've been teasing this for a half of a year already. The difference here is, and this happened a couple weeks ago where we discussed it right here on Kev Crusher Radio. You can check out our archives right here on YouTube. Haha, see a little self-promotion.
That was good, and that was really good.
See, yeah, smooth. That was just smooth. But when we were talking about the, we were talking about when Jeff Jarrett kind of screwed over the Hardys, when we had thought they basically had the broken gimmick again, when they were did that promo in the middle of the ring, and it was very, you know, they no longer seemed to be holding back. They weren't teasing. It was full bore. And then it came out that, no, they did have something work out, but then Jeff Jarrett and Ed Norholm took it away. What we found out was that Anthem had trademarked certain phrases like broken, broken Matt Hardy, Vanguard One,
Brother Nero,
and certain things like that. So what this appears to be, but here's the thing. They didn't trademark delete, which I don't think you could anyway. I'm not sure delete is something that you can trademark.
Well, yeah, the trademark would never be filed out. Everything would just keep getting deleted.
Duh! Ah! Hate you so much. but seriously, like, you know, they didn't trademark delete. They didn't trademark, like, all the wonderful. They can't trademark all that. And this seems to be maybe the Hardys kind of, okay, you're going to really dick us around with the whole broken thing? You're going to really do this? Well, guess what?
We are now awoken.
We are no longer, I no longer feel broken, but perhaps the seven deities have awakened in me, and now I am woken. And I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at woken Matt Hardy.
And, I'm very happy for that.
I'm excited. Because here's the thing. My biggest worry with the whole broken gimmick was that it was just going to be a rehash. in WWE, that they were just going to redo basically what they had done in TNA, in which case I don't think it would have worked. I would have been disappointed in it. I think it would have been lackluster. I think by having to do this, it's almost a continuation of Broken Matt. You know, I remember from TNA, they had, you know, it was like asshole millionaire Matt. And then he got broken in the motorcycle accident or whatever it was. And then he turned into Broken Matt Hardy. And, you know, he deleted Brother Nero, who became an obsolete mule and an empty vessel. You know, and they did all that shit. Now they went to WWE and you know, his brokenness was somewhat fixed, but there was still a lot of conflict inside of him. And, you know, obviously played out on Twitter. And now, because of the revival and their Shatter Machine, he and Brother Nero have been awoken. And it's, to me, I'm very excited to see where this goes. If this is indeed where they're going, if they are doing the whole woken Matt Hardy bit, if we're going to get the woken Hardys, I'm excited to see how that progresses. It's almost like a Star Wars saga at this point. It's like, this is like episode 5. This is going to be like Empire Strikes Back. I want to see what this is like. So I'm actually, if this is the way they're going, I'm excited. I'm actually excited that it's not going to be a rehash. It's not just going to be all the broken stuff again. It's going to be trying to continue that kind of Matt Hardy insanity storyline. I'm
very excited for this too. I'm very excited because we're going to get to see... We're going to see what we've always wanted to see in WWE from the Hardys. We've wanted to see the broken characters in WWE, but it doesn't look like we're going to get the exact gimmick that we want. And in a way, I'm going to throw a hot take out here, Kane. In a way, that's kind of good.
Because exactly.
I don't want a carbon copy of the gimmick that we fell in love with in TNA, because as much as we shit on TNA, that was a special gimmick for TNA, and that's what kept TNA on the map. And as much as we shit on TNA, they had some good moments. And the Broken Universe was, in fact, the one good moment that TNA had in recent memory. So I don't want to see WWE take something that's already been great and sort of put their own spin on it, because they did the same thing with WCW and ECW, and look how that turned out. So
that, and nobody showed up either. That was the other problem.
And look what they did with Sting. I mean, they everything that was great outside of WWE, and they take in, they change, and they ruin it. So if this is like the sort of broken-esque Hardys that we're going to get that are now awoken, I'm excited.
Like I said, I like that. And along those same lines, me and you, I think, are on the same page here. I'm glad that...
I wish we were.
What's that?
You said we're on the same page. I said I wish we were, but that's
See,
that was a perverted joke.
I see what you're doing there, pedo.
By the way, one. I know I'm jumping back to the previous topic, but I'm looking at WWE's YouTube channel, and they have a video. Chris Cyborg calls out Becky Lynch. They literally have a video dedicated to it, and where they have tweets from both of them. Yeah. Where, hey, let's make a deal. If I win in Cali, you win in Detroit, you agree to sign the SummerSlam contract. And she tweeted Triple H. Now I want Becky Lynch in the WWE at SummerSlam. WWE is acknowledging this whole thing, which means it's going to happen.
Yeah, not only are they acknowledging it, but they're acknowledging it through their goofy WWE.com exclusive kind of videos. And when WWE is basically putting their production values behind something, that means... something has been done. There's been some kind of agreement already that, you know, this isn't a case of where Cyborg might still be trying to do something. That might have been a month and a half ago when she started this with Becky Lynch. But, I mean, obviously, I think it's pretty clear now that something has been done behind the scenes. And now it's just a case of getting there. I wonder if... next Tuesday, we're going to see something on SmackDown Live with perhaps Chris Cyborg in the crowd.
God, I would love that. I would love that.
I, you know, I for some reason, it feels like the way it's going down, and you just happened to mention that, I think that seems to be the way we're going down. To jump quickly back to the subject we were on, which was the Hardys, I think I said, me and you, same page, not that page. I think that we both didn't want to see them rehash the same old story and basically do it in the WWE way. I'm glad we're seeing this. The fact that they've been forced to basically evolve the gimmick, I think will turn out to be a good thing. And some people out there might be disappointed that they're not getting the TNA Broken Hardys.
But that's a good thing.
I think give it time. If you're one of those people out there that are just like, no, I wanted my Broken Hardys. If it's not broken, I don't want it. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. I think you have to let it, you know, let this breathe. Let him be creative, just like he was with the If there's one thing we know about Matt Hardy, he is maybe one of the more creative minds in wrestling going today. He is. He has a good mind for it. And, you know, listen, the broken gimmick, as much as Anthem wants to say that they own it, that's all Matt. We all know that that is Matt. Every single bit of that is Matt frickin' Hardy. So let's see what Woken Matt Hardy does, and let's see what he can create from that in WWE. Again, I'm really excited to see where this goes from here.
We're going to keep this a short show tonight, guys. So let's transition to our, I would say, final topic of the night, which is our thoughts on the really, really good SmackDown Live this past Tuesday.
Fantastic.
First off, wow, we had an amazing opening contest with Owens and AJ Styles. But I don't want to, as good as that was.
As much, let me interject in here 1 second, because I think there was something there that I think maybe a lot of people may have missed. And WWE needs to do more of this. And what that simply is, start your shows with a wrestling match.
Yes.
Don't start them with promos. Don't start them with a video package. Start your shows with this. You see this over here? You see what's going on this screen? Do that to open up your shows. Boom. You grab people. You get people wanting to watch.
You have arguably your best. You have arguably the best wrestler in the world versus your best heel, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. You have two of your absolute best workers opening up SmackDown. Yeah, this is hooking me for the whole 2 hours. And what came of this is they're going to wrestle at SummerSlam for the U.S. Championship with Shane McMahon as the special referee. Wow, is this going to be an interesting matchup?
That was interesting. Now, part of this match, like, again, this was a great match. The part that kind of got me a little with it was the fact that they basically did, they did the spot that they were supposed to do at Battleground that got botched up because AJ's shoulder wasn't off the mat. They basically did the same spot here, only reversed with Kevin Owens being the one screwed out of it instead. So that's how we ended up getting here. It seems like the hot potato with the U.S. title that they did for the last 2-3 weeks was just to get back to this spot to then kind of fix that, to then get us back to where we're going to have a title match at SummerSlam. I guess, okay, part of that kind of took me out of it, but overall, still a great match. I'm very interested to see what we're going to get as far as Shane McMahon as the guest referee. And kudos to Daniel Bryan for teasing the shit out of everybody.
Yes.
A backstage segment, he started, because Kevin Owens starts going nuts because the referee missed a call, even though he poked him in the eye. How dare he? You got incompetent refs, everything like that. Daniel Bryan says, all right, you want a referee that can make sure he can take a hit and don't worry about it? Okay, fine. You want? I got the perfect guy for you to go. And me, and I think along with every single other fan out there, was thinking, Daniel Bryan's going to be the special guest referee. He's going to get in there. He's going to do something. Oh, my God. He's going to do something. And he's like, Shane McMahon. It's like, you mother.
Still a good choice. I mean, he did take a fall out of a helicopter. So yes. It's not like he can't take damage and go.
But damn you, Daniel Bryan. Damn you for teasing us.
And I think SmackDown, the rest of the show was very good, but I think what overshadowed everything was the dream match that we talked about last week. We got to see John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura one-on-one, and we saw, I'm just going to call because I saw it right before we went on the air tonight. This is your TV match of the year so far. I know it's still sort of like just about halfway through the year, but this is your TV match of the year.
Hard to argue. I'd have to go and look back and see what some of the other ones were that we were looking at, because there have been some good ones.
There have been some excellent matches from New Japan, some Ring of Honor matches that have been very good, but
far as straight TV, I'm talking about like just regular TV matches. I'll go even just strictly WWE Raw or SmackDown matches that were on USA Network, your regular TV
matches.
This
is easily the best one.
I don't know if I'll have to go back and look, because I know there were some good ones. There were some ones that we were looking at that were actually very good. So I'll have to go back and look. But this is obviously up there. It's in the conversation, if not the clear choice. I'm not going to argue that point with you. It was an absolutely fantastic match. Again, showing what Cena can do
with the right opponent,
with the right person, and properly motivated, which I think he's been these last couple years, and trying to get. Here's the thing: Cena's at that point in his career where now he is
the only thing that he has worth to win right now is the 17th title.
Right.
That's it. That's all he has left.
Do you think now? Here's my question.
By the way,
Shinsuke
reversed the second attitude adjustment and dropped him right onto his. Oh my God. And by the way, Kevin Owens' tweet in response to this today was perfect. What did he say? Like, oh, good thing John Cena was already confirmed to be a Transformer.
I think he said, for everybody freaking out over the bump that John Cena took, you obviously forgot that yesterday he came out and said that he's literally a Transformer. Oh, God. But still, again, that just shows you the if nothing else, it shows you the professional that John Cena is. He's a professional. He took a bad bump. It was a rough bump. Watching it live, I went, Watching the replays, it makes you cringe even more looking at it.
And as we just saw in that video clip on the side of the screen here, Shinsuke beats Cena clean. For the past 10 years, King, I know you and I have both expressed very, very harsh criticism towards WWE for having LOL Cena wins.
That's been the joke in the IWC, yeah, is the LOL Cena wins. You've even seen signs. Yeah.
In the past 5 years, Cena has lost clean to Daniel Bryan. He's lost to CM Punk clean. He's lost to Kevin Owens clean. And now he's lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. Folks, it is time to stop with the LOL Cena wins and Super Cena. It is time to stop doing that. John Cena has proven to himself to be a bona fide legend and one of the all-time greats. And his match with Nakamura on SmackDown was not only a phenomenal match, but it also shows that with the right opponent, Cena can have a five-star classic. And I think Cena knows that his days as the top guy are done. He is no longer the top guy in WWE. He's one of the top guys, but he's not the guy. That guy is now Roman Reigns.
Now, here's the thing.
And I think Cena is now using his star power from what he has left to put over necessary new talent. And I think he's going to get his 17th title. And he's going to have like a couple months reign as 17th champion. And then he's going to bow out. He will never win a title again after his 17th title.
Here's the thing. I think you're absolutely right as far as all that goes. I think John Cena, for the last 4 or 5 years, and I think the reason why we've seen Cena put on such great matches with people is not only is he working with great people again, because here's the thing, you got to remember, in the era of LOL Cena wins, there was nobody else. As much as we like to say nobody got a proper push, and there were times where people didn't get a good push and certain things like that, but in that respect, too, that's not Cena's fault. That's the writing team. They kind of, as soon as somebody lost to Cena, they would bury him down the card. That's not Cena's fault. That's just, you know, he's doing what the script says. You know, people like to make fun of wrestling for being scripted. Well, here we are. My thing is, with Cena, what you have is, over the past 5 years, you have somebody who is genuinely excited about the younger talent that is coming in, loves the fact that WWE has all this talent, whether it's coming in from the indies or homegrown from NXT that have been coming up. And when you have that, it's, you know, it makes somebody, you know, it makes somebody excited for what they're doing. It makes somebody want to work, you know, and that's the same for anybody. Whether you work at a call center, or if you work in a warehouse, or if you're a WWE wrestler, when you're invested in what you're doing, when you're excited about what you're doing, you look better doing it. In those years where Cena didn't have really anybody else there at WWE with him, you could tell it was the five moves of doom, and you know, it was paint by number matches, and that was it. And that's why people got upset, and people
and also that's why we always complained about him and Randy Orton always going at one another, or him and
that's
Edge,
all they had.
Because that, yes, that's all they had. They had to challenge Cena, you know, was Edge and Randy Orton.
That's all they had. Now, ever since they've started NXT, like proper NXT, not that stupid reality show that they were doing with it, but, you know, started NXT as a developmental project, as a program down there in Florida. It used to be FCW, and they've been building up and bringing in indie stars and building up people there from there. I think you've seen that the talent, I don't think WWE has ever had this deep of talent from top to bottom in their history.
I would say maybe Ruthless Aggression era.
Maybe, but again, I think...
like early 2000s, I would say then was probably... that's the only time I could say where it would challenge the depth of roster compared to today.
You had Benoit, you had Guerrero, you had Mysterio, you had Batista.
You had Cena at the start of his reign. You had Triple H. You had The Rock barely. And you had The Undertaker. You had Kane. You had Austin.
Austin was kind of gone by that point. But you had a very young Orton that came in. You had Brock Lesnar for a little while there. There was a time that I'll agree with you. From maybe about 2002 to 2005, I think that's where we're getting at now. Because look at WWE's roster now. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, on top of your bona fide stars like a John Cena, Randy Orton, as much as people may think, he's still there. Then you go over to Raw, you have Reigns, you have Samoa Joe,
you have Seth Rollins, you have Ambrose, you have a lot of people. You have Cesaro.
Think about those names that I've been saying, though. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if I would have told you Samoa Joe would be in WWE and one of the most dominant performers and one of the best people they have, you would have looked at me like I had five heads. You know, if I said, you know, Tyler Black would be in WWE and be one of their cornerstones for the future, you would have looked at me like I had five heads, especially with the way his attitude was, you know. And now we have Seth Rollins here doing well. You know, if I would have told you that Shinsuke Nakamura, the darling of New Japan, would be in WWE, maybe
and
being
would beat Cena clean on TV.
And that's it. Maybe he was being misused a little bit. I don't think there's an argument that from his debut, what was that, a little after WrestleMania, until now, he's kind of been misused, but he seems to be on the right track now. He's beat Cena clean on television, and he's going to go for the, in my opinion, the most prestigious belt in professional wrestling. That is the Bruno belt. That is the original WWE World Heavyweight Championship belt. That is that lineage that is living.
And he's going to face against Jinder Mahal, a man who we never thought would be holding that title, but who has formed into an excellent heel champion.
I like him. A lot of people are still down on him. A lot of people still don't like what he's doing, and I can understand that to a point. But
I came to a point, but y'all wanted some diversity with your champions. Y'all wanted some new faces, and you got some.
And I'm sorry. I think he has grown into that role. I think he has grown into the champion.
Oh, he's done phenomenally.
Like I said, he has. He started off looking a little jittery, a little bare with it. Now he carries himself like a champion. He looks good with the belt. His promos are getting better. And here's what I love. Here's what I love to kind of look forward just a little bit. The fact of the matter is now that Jinder Mahal, for everybody who was arguing for the fact that, yes, he's had the stupid, tired, zingoistic, anti-American kind of heel gimmicks that he was stuck with. He's going to have to face a Japanese man. And this isn't like a Mr. Fuji Japanese guy who's actually born in Hawaii, or like Yokozuna, who's actually like Hawaiian or Samoan.
He's facing against arguably the face of New Japan.
Shinsuke Nakamura is Japanese. He's not. There's not an ounce of American in that son bitch. He is 100% Japanese. So this is something where Jinder's not going to be able to pull from that traditional anti-American heel gimmick that he has been. This is going to hopefully force Jinder and the writers anyway to get out of that kind of rut, out of that comfort zone,
actually.
And let Jinder do. Because here's the thing. There have been moments where you have seen it. At least I have. I have seen Jinder has moments where he can be a true heel and not a heel like, you know, your city sucks and blah, blah, like not that kind of traditional heel, almost the heel where you can stop and think, you know what? I see his point. I don't like him. I'm not going to root for him.
But he has a point.
He's making sense. He's making some points.
You know,
he's
Americans are a little bit bigoted. Why not? We need to take a look at that.
And I'm not even talking about that. Like, I'm not even talking about the whole, you know, bigoted Americans and, you know, they don't like diversity or anything. I'm just talking about and when he started talking to, before Battleground, and he started talking to Orton about, like, even after the Punjabi prison match was set and everything like that, and he's telling Orton that, you know, I embarrassed you in front of your family. I've killed your legend. I've killed who you are. I've embarrassed you and your family in front of your hometown. I've taken everything from you. You know, I have, you know, you have the feeling of representing, you know, St. Louis. I have the pressure of representing 1.3 billion people. And in those moments, you sat there to, damn.
Goddamn, Jinder's really good.
When he's not strapped down with the, you know, America sucks thing, he can work it. He has it. Let him use that. Let Jinder be Jinder. Let him do this for this run up to SummerSlam. And here's the thing: I don't think they have a choice. What is he going to do? Is he going to call Shinsuke racist, or tell him that he's afraid of him because that's not going to work? Nothing there is going to work. He's going to have to be Jinder. He's going to have to work being just a mean heel from India. I want to see that. I'm excited to see where they go from there. If they drop the ball with it, you know, at this point it is what it is. But because here's the deal. I think we can all agree Jinder's dropping a title at SummerSlam. Whether it's going to Nakamura or Corbin cashes in or whatever. I think this is the last couple weeks that we're going to see Jinder with the title.
And I really hope I hope it doesn't pan out that Nakamura wins and then Corbin cashes in. That will be an insult to Nakamura.
I want to see Corbin hold on to it for a little longer. I want to see him kind of do like the Ziggler kind of thing where he holds on to it. And, you know, I might, let me pick my spot. Let's see. I want to see that. But when it comes to like, I just want to see with this last little bit that Jinder has with the title, let him do his thing. Let him be the modern day Maharaja. Let him be there with the Singh brothers, who have been phenomenal as his minions. I think that has been one of the most under-realized, underappreciated things about this whole run with Jinder has been the Singh brothers. They have been entertaining and wonderful to the last. Not just for the bumps they take, but they kind of they pull off that whole Minion thing. I love it. There hasn't been anything like that. And as much as people maybe don't like the fact that Great Khali showed up at Battleground, if you have him just kind of as like a figurehead of like an Indian stable that Jinder would start, I would love that. I would love that. WWE hasn't had a good stable in a really good long time. Let's start doing stables again and maybe start it with the – I would love it. I would love it. I want to see them do something like that. Let's see if this run-up to SummerSlam, they would be able to do that and not have him be the same jingoistic America hates me because I'm brown kind of thing. Because he can't do that. He can't. He literally can't do that with his opponent. He can't do it. So let's see what I'm excited to see what happens, but we'll see. But that's the thing. Shinsuke Nakamura is going for the WWE World Championship at SummerSlam.
And I really hope he wins it.
Who would have thought?
What a time to be a fan of WWE. But that's going to do it for us tonight. I know we usually go way more than our scheduled hour time, but...
So much to talk about, too, but we'll see. Maybe I'll put something out there tomorrow. Maybe I'll make my own little video and put it out there for everybody.
We absolutely missed Mike tonight. He will be back next week, but...
yeah, he's not actually dead, everybody, just in case you were wondering.
All right, kayfabe, guys. I am at Hams Group on Twitter. He's not dead, but dead. He is Michael R. Falcone on Twitter, and he, down below, is... at Kane on the Air. You can follow us at Calf Crusher Pod on Facebook and Twitter. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat network. Take care, guys.